Welcome to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor. Get ready to be inspired. Stories have power and conversations spark change. So let's create a new world and get started right now.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia. And good day or evening to all our international listeners too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Monday, 4 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Sunday, 11 p.m. Central time for US and Canada, for conversations and stories that are going to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to over 190 outlets worldwide. I first want to start today with thanking the sponsor for today's show. When I got up on this platform, a few of my friends and colleagues helped me out to get things started by sponsoring a show. So today's show is brought to you by, he's a colleague of mine, but he's also a very good friend, and that's Richard. So thank you, Richard, very much for being today's sponsor. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo, breaking free from limiting systems that we've got out there and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story, to reveal how they've overcome change and made better lives for themselves and others. They're here to inspire you with their stories. This show embodies the spirit of love, respect, and compassion. And with that in mind, I'm going to introduce today's guest, who is Cal Washington. He's a former construction contractor, a musician, a family man, and now the co-founder and CEO of the In Power Movement. Cal's unexpected collision with the legal system pushed him to question conventional narratives and search for deeper truth. It was a turning point that forced him to look beyond surface-level truths, to question the narratives we're often told, and to challenge conventional power structures. He's discovered a path to freedom and dedicated himself to securing life, liberty, and property for everyone and helping people reclaim authority over their own health and home. Welcome, Cal.
Oh, I'm honored to be here, Helen. Finally, after so many months and
yes, the planets of alignment,
trials and tribulations, and you know, change, all that. Yeah, it's all good.
That's it. That's what life's all about, isn't it? So we just roll it, and we're finally lined up. So it's wonderful to have you here. I'm looking forward to this conversation. So before we get into, you know, well, I talked about there about colliding with the legal system and who you were and how that happened, because I'd love to hear what that was about. Tell me about 10-year-old Cal. Like, what was your life growing up? Because I think that who we are as a child already sets the scene for who we're going to become.
Well, I was a little different than most kids, not in a weird way or anything, but I got along with almost everybody. Even in high school, I was in every clique, and some of the cliques didn't really mix, but I was able to fit in everywhere.
So here in Australia, I'm not sure we know what a clique is. So what's a clique? A group?
Yeah, a group. The people in sports, they hang together, and the people who are outside smoking outside the high school, they all hang together. Yeah. Well, I was able to go in and out of any of the cliques quite fluidly, which was really odd. I didn't think it was odd at the time, but when I look back, like, nobody was able to do that, really.
You were a bit of a chameleon?
I wouldn't say a chameleon, because I was always myself, but myself fit with everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't change who I was or anything like that, but everybody accepted me as I was and
That's
didn't.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so, going back to 10, I was, just pretty, the teachers all liked me, I was sort of not a great, like an A student or anything, but I was, I was easy to get along with and nice to people and, just a people just like being around me, even at 10. And so yeah, it was, that's just who I was, and I still am that. You know, I still get along with most people, and
So you've been an easygoing boy and you've turned into an easygoing man.
So when it says that I collided, I mean, that's a pretty good description of what happened, because I was that guy. Like, why are you treating me like I'm a criminal all of a sudden? And like, what did I do? Because I'm like, my life has not ever been like this, where I'm the bad guy. Like, I'm never the bad guy.
So you
Not
were
that
the
I'm
guy,
perfect or anything, but
you were the guy that was paying his taxes and paying his bills and had a family and raising your kids. So you were doing everything as per the script.
Exactly. I was, you know, I was going to the church, playing music there, played sports, you know, family guy, paid taxes, had a mortgage, had two cars, you know, the North American middle class lifestyle, and you know,
The American
no.
dream.
Yeah, pr pretty much. I wasn't wealthy or anything, but I, you know, owned a home, and just a small home, but still, you know, I was doing the thing. And then
So
all of a sudden, it just
sorry.
changed.
Sorry to interrupt there. So you're coasting along and you didn't even poke the bear, so to speak. You didn't poke the system or anything else.
No.
Sorry, what happened next?
Then my wife got, she was a nurse in open heart surgery, and patient lied about how much alcohol they drank, and so they didn't do the right protocols with him. And it wasn't even her patient, but he punched her in the face as they were getting up to walk, and it so she had a concussion, loose teeth, and et cetera. Within 3 weeks, we were in a divorce.
Whoa, that just turned everybody's life upside down.
So the rug got pulled out of everything, and I mean, there was obviously things happening. It didn't pop out of nowhere, but it, you know, it wasn't. There was a drastic change at a certain point, and then now I'm in a divorce, which then led to
It didn't
child
creep up
support.
on you. It didn't creep up on you, Cal. It didn't creep up on you. It smacked you in the face as well.
Absolutely. And everybody else, everybody around us is like, what's Cal? Because, you know, I was that easygoing guy, and I wasn't faking it. I was just, that's who I was. I've always been that. And so,
Everybody else saw you as the perfect couple and the perfect little life and things. Is that why it kind of pulled the rug out from everybody else as well? They never thought the two of you would separate.
There were, they, well, anything's a possibility, but it was more, yeah, it was more like, it would have been the other way around, if anything. Like, I would have been leaving. It's not like, put it that way. That's the best way I can describe that. So it was, a lot of people came up and talked to me after that, you know, and voiced their opinions that they had kept quiet, you know, for years in some cases. And but the main thing was, my life changed at that point, and I was painted with the deadbeat dad brush. Nobody knew anything about me, but just because you're here in this court with that docket number, therefore you are this and this, and we're going to treat you like that and that.
So you ended up in the court system. That was what happened next.
Because the divorce plunged us into court, and now we've got lawyers, and things are moving very fast. House was, you know, sold, and all kind of, it just it my life just completely came apart.
And
And
thank you.
then it,
Thank you for talking about this. I have to say it's not easy. But people need to understand what propelled you to the next steps. Is that right?
yeah.
This helps
So
me.
once we got the lawyers out, because I, you know, I didn't understand court. I'd never really been in there. A couple of traffic things, and that's it, right? So, no problems. But now I'm being treated like a criminal, and I've got this, these two lawyers who just basically took our house and left us without a divorce and without anything. We're self-litigants. So now I'm able to talk in the court because there is nobody else talking for me. And I just started asking questions because I saw some things that were being said and just attitudes in there that just didn't make sense with how I understood the world to be, or the court and the country and all, like everything that I was told that where I live in Canada was not true in this room. Like there's something off here. Yeah. So it's that changed my life, trying to come to grips with what is going on in here. Like this is weird. Another thing that happened to me is I looked when I started being a self-litigant, I looked online and I came across this thing called Dad's Divorce .com or whatever it was. And on the front page it said, if you're reading this, this is what just happened to you. Boom, 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 including the exact magazines, the exact TV shows. And I went, what is this?
What was it
How
saying?
can I hit all of these things? Like, and then they go on to say 95% of divorces in North America are this exact scenario.
Wow.
So now,
There was a script to it all.
yes.
Okay.
Now, conspiracy theory, I had heard that, during the 9/11, but it wasn't a word that was sort of, in part of my thing. And I didn't think conspiracy, but I thought, well, this is really weird. Like, why is that?
Right. Yes, this isn't just
And
happening to you. It's happening to hundreds of thousands of people.
yes. And so that was also a driver. Like, why is this? Like, why is this happening? And then, as I started to understand what was really going on in the world, I realized, oh, this is all on purpose. And that's a divorce industry, and there's a ton of money being made. And the orders, the court orders for child support are money.
Yes, we think it's a
Because
court system, but you were starting to uncover that it actually really is a bank system.
absolutely. So that's what I was seeing in there. Like, there's something else going on in here, and I can't quite figure it out. But now I know exactly what it is. It's the court orders are called bills of exchange, and we don't know that, but that's money. So the court's making money off of all this. They've got a whole system, North America-wide, if not worldwide, that buys up the notes, and then they act as the enforcers against the dads. And so they paint the dads as deadbeat dads, so everybody hates them. You get ostracized, that you're less than a man, and you're not taking care of your kids. And that's not the case at all. There's I think a guy did a study, and it's like literally 3% are actual deadbeat dads. The rest of them are just normal dads who don't make enough money because they do it on purpose to get you into a state where you can't quite make it. That it's on purpose.
I hear what you're saying because most of us are educated to think that the court system is one of fairness and it's one of justice. And what you're saying is you walked in there and started seeing behind the curtain, so to speak, and started to investigate. And then you started to connect with other men that were walking down the same path who'd been hoodwinked.
Well, not so much that. I started finding these other people who were talking about the birth certificate and the capitalized name and all this. I'm like, what is all this? And I'm going to these meetings, and there's people talking about this and that, and I'm like, what planet am I on? Like, this all sounds like total nonsense, right?
What
Because I'm
door
coming.
did
Yeah, so I'm coming to these meetings, and I'm like, is this all true? And then I start looking and I start researching, and I'm going, you know what? There's something to this. Like,
Right.
this isn't nonsense. I think they're onto something here. So then, one thing leads to another, and you just keep going and finding new people to get their information, and then you find there's groups and people across the country and people in other countries that are all, kind of sharing notes and trying things in courts and trying things, all kinds of stuff going on.
Right.
So that's, yes, but that's how I ended up in it. And I had no
Wow.
idea. Yeah, I had no idea the world was like this.
You were
I was an
lucky.
adult.
You were lucky to keep your head on your shoulders after all of that, because it would have been spinning, not only because of the first step, which was the divorce that came out of nowhere for you, but then the court system and what came out of nowhere there for you. We need sometimes the help and the resources of other people around us thinking the same way and researching the same way, don't we? Just to keep that level of sanity about us, because when you open up that door, it's to a world that none of us have been aware
Exposed to.
of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I know.
how did you keep yourself grounded?
Well, I had to keep working and looking after my kids. I had 5 daughters, so that, and I had them 3 weekends a
That'll
month.
keep you
So
grounded.
yeah, that's for sure. Oh, and 5 girls, right? So it's, that
Yes.
adds a whole
Yes.
thing to it. And yeah, so that kept me grounded. And I kept playing the drums. That also is a thing in my life that, has been a constant, and
Yeah.
it keeps me. There's a bunch of things about around that. Just playing a musical instrument is very helpful for a lot of things, and so yeah, that's kept me grounded as well. And
Good.
then just one thing leading to another, it just kind of went down this road, and I had no idea, where it was headed. And I still don't really, 100% know, because it just unfolds, all the time. So.
It does. It does. It continues to. Did anything in life prepare you for this? Like, for a lot of people, they would probably now be medicated and sitting quietly in a corner somewhere. Do you think anything in life prepared you for what was coming?
Yes, there was a couple of things. I ended up getting my US passport, which would have been, if I didn't have that, I don't know how I would have got through. And that came just before the divorce, like not maybe a few months, a
So
year at the most.
that's as opposed to a Canadian passport, is that what you're saying? Okay, yep.
Correct. Yeah. So that was a lifesaver. I also went through a labor battle with a boss that I had at the time. He wasn't paying me. He owed me $16,000, and so we ended up in a big labor relations type battle. And he hired the top law firm in Vancouver, like the 21st floor that
Right. Yes.
started by the great grandfather, and then the grandfather, and then the father, and most of the judges come through that law firm. It's that,
One that says, trust us, just trust
yeah, because we got everybody's pocket. We can line everybody's pocket. So it was that law firm, and I got the nauseous feelings and everything from the paperwork and getting handed, but I just read it and calmed down and got all the chemicals back, and I would read it again a day or two later. Okay, now I'm calmer now, and I can actually, deal with it. And
Yep.
I won that case.
Uh-huh.
So, and this is after them appealing and going, and up and up and up. He ended up paying $21,000 to fight 16,
Wow. Yeah, that's
and
how
still had.
stupid the system can be. Yes.
Yeah. So, and then he lost it as well. So, I settled on 12 just to get it over with. But regardless of that law firm, even the lawyer, he said, "Man, you're good at this." And I was just trying to, I did a lot of reading. I just read and read and read, and I read case after case after case, and then I just made sticky notes, and I had them all on the desk. And so when they would bring something up, I'd go, I already knew there was a court case on that, put in front of the adjudicator, and she goes, "I'm aware of that case."
Okay.
And then he would do, "Oh, blah, blah, blah," and I'd put this sticky note, "Yeah, I'm aware of that case too." After about the fourth time, she going, "I'm aware of that case," he went, "We got a caucus." And she goes, "Yeah, I bet you do."
And for the listeners, a caucus means?
Means we need to come go out of the room private with my client, and we need to rethink this.
And
And she goes, "Yeah, I bet."
isn't that really them going out there into a different jurisdiction and figuring out how they're going to play the game next?
Well, at that point, the lawyer knew he had lost,
Right.
because I put the case law in front of her, the meaning I know the case law of what he's just said. I'm not saying anything. I'm just putting there's this. She goes, "I'm aware of that case. I'm aware of that case too. I'm aware." In other words, I've already decided where this is going. As soon as they stop talking, they lose. And so now the lawyer knows, okay, there's no winning it at this point. So they had to come in and concede.
So that's what they went off into the sidebar to do. So again, what prepared you for that? I hear that you've been a church man as well. It's like, was there divine guidance in this? Was there some element of that going on?
Absolutely. When at the time I couldn't see it. I mean, God was always there. There's no doubt about that. But I didn't know the extent of it until I ended up in London in front of Buckingham Palace. I went there to do a speaking engagement, but really what I went there to do was to go visit Buckingham Palace, and I didn't know it. But as I left there, I went, "Oh, that's why I came here." And then I went, "Oh, I couldn't have been here unless that happened and that happened." And I saw about 15 years of all these things that had to happen, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to come there. And that's when I went, "Whoa."
That's a hell of a light bulb moment, huh? And that's why I'm
So I said,
asking.
who did this? And I mean, it was even drum parts. I lost drum parts, and then ended up, I had bought a drum set, and even buying the drum set, when I think back, I walked into a music store and I went, "That's my drum set." It was like I had it for years and somebody stole it, and that's mine. I'd never seen it before, but my feeling was like, "That's mine." And so I bought it, and I'm not an impulse buyer, but so and I talked to my wife and said, "Yeah, I saw this drum set. I just gotta buy it." And so she agreed, and we bought it. And I lost some pieces to it. And then years later, years after I bought it, I lost a couple pieces, and I didn't know much about the set, but it was from England. So now I'm researching to try and get the parts back, and then I found out about all the vintage drums and the history of it, so I became a collector, which if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have gone to London that day. I went to look for vintage drums and happened to go by Buckingham Palace.
I get
It
you.
was just mind-blowing.
It is, and I think it's designed to blow our minds so we stop using them so much and we use our heart a hell of a lot more. Because I've had similar situations to you where there have been significant times where I felt I was not walking alone. And some people call that God, some people call it creator or the universe, and I don't get into labels so much, but what I'm hearing is, and that's why I kept asking you, what happened in your past and what happened leading up, because yes, you were being divinely guided, and at some point we are so close to it, you can feel it with you, and then other times you're just a little bit further apart. Is that how you'd explain it?
Exactly. I didn't know all these things were related. I had to go through the divorce in order to bump into these other people, and then that everything else. There were so many pieces to this that if one was missing, I wouldn't have been in London that day.
And do you think that because when hindsight's a beautiful thing, I continually tell people that hindsight is beautiful because we're not always supposed to know as we're walking through the fire or even walking up to the fire. But you're describing that when you look back in an instant, sometimes you can see all the dots joining, all of the dots. And that's when you look at significant things. And I'm saying this for people who, in the last 6 years, lost friends and family and st are still trying to struggle to find out why. You can relate to this. I can relate to this, that some significant thing has to happen that turns your whole life upside down because you're now being instructed to walk a completely different path.
Correct. That's the only way I can describe it. So, what I went through was horrible, but it without it, I wouldn't be who I am today, and I don't know who I'm going to be tomorrow, really, or a year from now. So it's still unfolding, and I know that now because I've seen how much intervention, if you like, was to get me to here. There's it's still got to be happening, right? So I don't even know but life is not as hard as it was, but so now it's more excitement in seeing the blessings and et cetera that are going to be coming. So
That's a beautiful way to put it. Absolutely, because at first, while you're in it, it's as you said, horrifying. It's horrible for everyone around. You can't see the blessings, can you? It's time is the healer, and time gives you the introspective as well. So you had to go through the court system to end up in court and open your eyes to the fact of like what's really going on here. It's not what I've seen on TV, and it's not what anyone's told me. And then you had the employer that you had to go to court with. So that was another instance of actually starting to look at how to operate in your own way in the system.
Well, it was more how to get over the fear and the anxiety of it. Because I didn't have a lawyer in the labor thing, and when I first got the documents, I got nauseous, and I was just like, just anxiety around it because it's all legal words and everything. But as I calmed down and read it over and over, I could actually, okay, I can I know what this is saying. Okay, I understand that. And I would look up words if I didn't understand them. And okay, I get the gist of it, and I can see the holes in this now because I've calmed down. My rational thinking is back.
Well, I've actually
Do
got a
you?
really good saying for that. Certainty settles the nerves.
Yes.
Right?
But settling the nerves gives you certainty as well. So, and I've seen this because my last few police interactions were that I instantly go into the fight or flight, the adrenaline or whatever's going on, the chemicals all change. Well, that takes away your rational thinking.
Course it does. Yes.
So what I found was, no, I'm not going to go into fear. I'd literally make a conscious decision. No, I'm not doing that. And then it all reverses like that. And then now I'm sitting there calm, can think totally straight, totally in my, in a centered way, rational, and it makes a big difference. And then all of a sudden the miracles start happening. I noticed there was a correlation. So now, the police are like, have a nice evening.
Right. Yes. So
It's
tell me, what part of you settles you and gets you sitting in that good position that lines you up with miracles?
That's the thing, and this is what's it's said in the Bible. Like when you read all the stories in there, it was always fear not. So there was something to fear, like an actual thing to fear. Like you should fear it, but it's telling you don't go into fear. So there's something about that decision to not go into fear. I'm going to stay calm. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm okay with this.
You were
I'm
in
good.
control instead of being out of control.
Correct, because when you go into any kind of fear or anything related to fear, your brain actually changes. Like your blood moves out of your rational part of your brain and into your fight or flight part.
The
So
reptile.
you've lost all objectivity. You're not centered. You're literally not thinking straight. So And that's for a reason. But if you don't allow that, if you don't allow those chemicals to actually change and you reverse that, now you're back centered.
So we do have some sort of control over our body, and we can talk to our body and tell it to do things.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Bible is saying that, but it's not saying it in the way that you just said it, but it's, there's something to fear, and then the word, the word from God or from whomever is fear not. Wow. There's a bunch of giants there. And you're telling me to fear not? That means that you must have the ability to do that. Otherwise, that can't be an instruction. But
Yes.
it's in there 365 times, fear not. So you just decide and it changes. Like I've experienced it. I
Oh,
don't know the mechanism, but
this is lovely. People hear it.
and then there's this miracle thing, and the Bible stories are like that too, where one person takes on the whole camp and they start killing themselves. Like, who knew?
Yeah. And
And so
I can relate to what you're saying, because as I started walking this same path as you, my goal was really, firstly, it was about how do I find diplomatic immunity? How do I have immunity for the rest of this world? I just set this really crazy little idea, this crazy bar. And that's when I then realized that I just wanted to live in a different jurisdiction. I didn't want to be in that same jurisdiction anymore. And I started experiencing what you're talking about, where you just start to get very certain and very centered, and then everything just lines up, and it's like no one else is actually paying you any attention. Is that what you were describing?
exactly.
What is
So
that?
I don't know. I don't know. Because when I came back from London, they knew what I had done because they had me on camera, and they emptied my plane in Toronto. And
Well,
they emptied another plane that came out of Heathrow in case my phone, because I was up on the statue taking pictures of it. They probably thought I had some technology. So they emptied my plane, and they were supposed to detain me, but I walked right by the customs lady and gave her my tag that had markings all over it to pull this one in, and she just didn't see it. Just like, whew, whew. I'm like, wow, and I walked by her. Okay, I'm going home.
it's
And
beautiful. Beautiful. But
exactly.
how do you put words to that to anybody else? How do you explain that?
You can't. I thought it was okay. Well, that was kind of nice. And then it happened again with a couple of police officers. And then the last one was a mask, and I was, didn't have my mask on. I didn't wear a mask. And I walked by two police officers, a man and a woman, and I could have been within elbowing range, and they just didn't make eye contact with me as if they didn't see me.
Like
And I'm
you
like,
didn't exist. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And I just started wondering then, if we've got 8 billion people on this planet, are there 8 billion realities? And are some people all living coexisting realities and some people aren't? I just
Yes.
started to ask the question, right?
Yes. And they have control because they have the media. They get most of us to buy into a certain reality, and
Yeah.
that's how it stays here. But it can't override an individual if the individual decides, I'm not participating in that. And you can walk right through it.
Yes.
What the trick is to get more people to understand that, and then get what we do want, not what this crazy,
Yes.
what we're seeing. And that's how you know what's going on, is you can see it, or at least they're portraying it that way. But if we can get more people to understand that they have that sort of innate power, it's not even power, just ability or something, we can change this whole thing very quickly.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. From the day that I started doing some public speaking about what we're talking about now, I was just letting everybody know, don't engage with the systems out there. Do your best not to engage at all and work out how to withdraw. And, the only difficult thing is when you're creating something new, is that it's always a bit clunky in the beginning. It's always a little bit difficult in the beginning, and sometimes it's a bit lonely because there's no one else around. But if you are patient and you keep your focus in creating a new reality or world, it will happen.
Absolutely.
And you're doing it.
I can tell you this, every professional athlete started as a stumbling toddler and fell down and fell down and fell down and fell down, and now they're a famous athlete or a famous dancer or whatever. They have full control of their body
Yeah.
because they just kept doing it.
As they kept going. They kept going. And for people out there now, doing something like the paperwork that you have to offer online, doing something along those lines actually helps them rewire their thinking. It helps them to get rid of the old thinking and to start creating new ways of thinking. Would you agree?
Absolutely. We found this, and people come, I wouldn't say every week, but we get a lot of people coming and saying, when they sent that first document, as they're coming out of the post office, they're having like a bodily, well, everybody's a little bit different, but they're having an actual experience and something has changed. And they don't really know exactly what it is, but they can feel it, like the like something is something has just shifted
Liberating,
here.
liberating in some way.
Yes. Yeah. So the actions and then the commitment, once you give it to the post office, you can't get it back, right? So there's a commitment there, like you stepped over the line and there's no going back. And that action, by taking that action, something shifts. Your reality starts to shift. And that's just the beginnings of it.
Well, I remember myself, and it wasn't yours, but I've looked at what your paperwork's about. But before I even discovered you, I did some paperwork and I served it on the Prime Minister of Australia and the Governor General and the Queen of England at the time. And I remember part of me being terrified about actually taking those steps, but I'd read that paperwork and I understood a whole heap of new things and I sent them off. And it wasn't until I did that that I realized, firstly, one, that's me declaring I'm the authority now, that no one else has authority over me. But two, what I realized is I wasn't half as important as what I thought I was, because really, I want to tell everybody out there that the rest of the world really doesn't give a toss about what you're doing.
No, they don't.
All those people in those, in the lofty positions of court and parliament and everything else, don't give a toss. If they lose one person, they've still got millions that are going to do what they're told.
Yeah, we go that extra step, and not only are we saying we're, men and women under God, but we're saying if you keep your behavior up, I'm going to charge you money, and that they do pay attention as soon as you say money. It's amazing. Yeah. That was the difference for me in the court as well. As soon as I understood that it was a money-making thing, and then I started to, put the liability or negative money aspect to what they were doing, that's when they were like, "Oh, I'm out. I got to get out of here." So it's the money makes them think, so or pay attention at least.
Well, we've
And
just stepped into something that I want to talk to you about. Can we go back one step, talking about your paperwork and what you've got set up in power, the In Power movement? How did that come about? How did that start?
Well, it started with my court case, and I did all this paperwork similar to what you were talking about, that they don't have any authority over me, et cetera. Well, they just came with guys with guns and locked me up without bail to see, basically torture me to see if I would relent. And I didn't, so I was in jail for 60 days pending a trial. It
So
was supposed to be one
they
day.
really did that. They've got no charges on you, but they
Yeah.
just intimidate and threaten and torture you.
So they got me on a long weekend. Most people will relent after a long weekend. So they got me on a Friday. And the prosecutor even said on the Friday, "Let's see what he's like on Tuesday after we put him in remand."
Gosh.
So I came back and I was the same. And now they're stuck. Like he didn't he's not, it's not working. So it took them 60 days to get jurisdiction because I wasn't giving them to giving it to them through assumptions. And they had a hard time because I'm pretty adept at this point. I know all your tricks, and yeah, you're not tricking me. So what are you going to do, right? So anyway, the whole scenario of all them trying to, you know, intimidate me or get on to me, they ended up owing me $300 million at the end of it. And that, when we went after it, when it got to the feds, the top guy in the country stepped down, and that's when we went, oh, this is serious. Like
Now you've
we
got
are.
someone's attention.
Yeah, and this guy was not—he was no nothing to be trifled with. He had been the CEO of the Bank of Canada, and he also worked at the IMF. This is a top financial
I
guy.
hear IMF, yes.
Yeah, so if he's running from this, he knows more about this than we do. We're onto something. So that's when we really dove in. Okay, this is real. That guy, he blinked, and so. With all of that, they ended up leaving me alone. So I was carrying on with my life, you know, with some of my kids and et cetera. And then the smart meters started coming out, and my friend Josh Del Sol, a movie about them. We had become friends around that 300 million time.
Yes,
That's
I've
when I
heard
met
that.
him. Yeah. And then he was showing the movie. It was a great movie. You should still watch. It's still a really good movie, still relevant. But there was no solution. So he knew about all the things that I'd done in court. So he says, you know, is there some solution that you can come up with? And I looked at it and I went, yeah, I know what they're doing. They're using old commerce, using tacit agreement, using notices, et cetera. So I know exactly what they're doing. So I know exactly what to do here. And so that's how it came about. He had a group in Seattle that was trying to fight the smart meters. So I took the document that was, you know, to collect the 300 million, I modified it for the smart meters, and that became our notice of liability.
And a movement was born.
Yep. Not planned, it just happened.
Yeah, and that's the best
So we
way.
went, yeah, so we went to Seattle. They, you know, they had nine counselors step down. Actually, three counselors stepped down and six were not seeking re-election for the city council. Two mayors stepped down. And then a lady in Detroit heard about it and she flew us out there. And then it started out there, right? And then a group in Canada was meeting about the smart meters. And I showed them and they all like, oh, let's do this. And so it just came about. There was no planning.
It's the best way. It's the best way, right? It just emerges bit by bit.
Yeah. And it's still doing that.
Yes. And I see it a bit like you know, those children's playgrounds where you've got concrete and you've got holes in the concrete and the water just spurts out and you don't know what hole it's going to come out of. I kind of see life sort of looking, it's like that. And it's looking for a person or some way to express something new. And I
Yep.
want to thank you, firstly, for either unconsciously or consciously putting your hand up to go through hell to get to a point to become one of those beautiful people of expression, expressing new and bringing a new reality into existence. Because that's what you're doing, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, I'm part of it. Yeah, for sure. Like but it's not me. I'm just a conduit for it. Yeah.
That's what I mean
And there's
by.
many others around me, you know, that are also, you know, experts in what they do and you know,
It's a good way
what.
to describe it as conduits. You know, it's like some of us have just wanted change, have recognized and been aware that things are not right at all, and have started looking for solutions and other ways to sort things out. That's what I'm saying. Thank you for going through what you have, because that's going through the fire, really.
Yeah, it really was. I, you know, I went through a lot. Yeah, it was not easy. I'm not looking for sympathy or anything. It's just it was not easy.
Well, I want to acknowledge it, right? Because I want to acknowledge it on behalf of everybody else out there who thinks that is looking at things and thinking life's just, it's at me. It's attacking me. It's having a go at me. I want to encourage people to take, a look at what happened to you and go, well, hang on a minute. Am I being redirected? Is something bigger at hand here?
Because you don't see it when you're in it.
That's a good point.
You, but you can see it afterwards. So, just take hope. Like when I was in jail for 60 days, I didn't know it was going to be 60 days. I could have been
Oh,
there
I
for
sorry, I didn't fi Oh, I heard you say the 60 days, but I thought that was it took them 60 days to find out, how what they were going to do with you. I didn't realize you're in jail all that time.
they wouldn't give me bail.
That's a hell of a long time.
It was. But when I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, well, when's this going to end? I have no idea, because I'm not told, it'll be 60 days. It's like, well, if I unless I give in here, I don't know where the, I don't know when this is going to end. They're not giving up and I'm not giving up. We're at a,
So while
so
you were
what?
in there for that 60 days, you got to do a lot of pondering and review.
Yes. And you have to overcome, things, because it's not easy to sit there not knowing when this is, when am I going to see the light at the end of the tunnel? I'm just stuck here. Do I give up? What do I do? Do I just go
Well,
home?
that's when, I mean, everyone's got different kind of connotations of what demons are. But for me, I think that just negative thinking can be called demons. How did you handle being plagued by your own thoughts and your own feelings and things like that?
Well, my kids motivated me like through the whole thing.
Ah,
Like
there it
I
is.
have to say, like that, those little girls were my life, and so it gave me that. I'm their dad, and I'm gonna be a dad. I'm not bending over for anything. Like I'm gonna stick this out, and
Well, you
so,
find something to hang on to, don't you? You find
yeah.
something. So for you, it was children. For me, it was my children. But for others, it could be something else. But you
Yeah,
find
absolutely.
something to hang on to.
Absolutely. To give you that hope and that reason to endure whatever it is you're enduring. And you will get through it. Like it, that's another thing what I do for the fear, because I've been through so much. When you see the red and blue lights, it's like, oh, and then you go into the and then I went, nah, I'm not going into fear. I've been through this. I will get through this, whatever it is. Even if I'm arrested or, my car blown up, I will get through this. I've been through enough that I know I don't have to worry about it. It's not may not be easy, but I will get through it. And then once I have that attitude, that's when you get the, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Have a nice evening. And it's like, whoa, that was easy.
So everybody, grab that new mantra. I will get through this. Make that, stick that on the fridge.
Exactly. And that, and don't go into fear. Don't go into any kind of those kind of emotions. They change your physiology. They ch that literally change your thinking on purpose.
Changes your chemistry, your brain chemistry. Starts flooding the body with not very productive chemistry.
Well, it's productive if there's something to fear. Like if you think about a movie theater, like a horror movie where there's something that jumps out at you and the whole everybody jumps. But there's not, it's a screen and you're in a dark room. There's nothing actually happening, but your body doesn't know the difference and it thinks, and so you all those chemicals are there. And you got to look at it, try and look at it objectively. There's no rational reason to jump when it's just light on a screen, light images on a screen. There's nothing there to fear, but you do go into that fear. So you can literally sit there. I worked at a theater when I was younger, and if there was one of those scary movies, I would go into the theater because I knew when the thing was going to jump, right? And I'd watch the whole crowd jump, but it didn't scare me because I'm like I know exactly when it's going to happen.
Well,
Have
and
I seen the?
that's training yourself, isn't
Yes.
it?
Yeah.
Training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can do that at any time. You can be sitting in the movie totally engrossed in it, and then you can just decide, no, I'm watching a film. That's not even, none of it's real. And then
Yes.
you instantly move out of it.
Yes. And
Well,
that's
they've
another.
got us into this Matrix movie, and we all think, you know, it's all, this is really happening to me. Well, it is and it isn't.
Well, we're being bombarded with things that could make you jump at just about every moment, whether it's on a
Exactly.
screen or whether it's in life. And I think we're not operating naturally. We're
No.
far from operating naturally. So most
Exactly.
people are in a chronic state of fight and flight.
Exactly. And you cannot operate at your full capacity, especially anything rational. You can get very fat, you can become fast and strong and you know, instant ladies pick up cars and stuff when their child's underneath a car.
Adrenaline and
But
strength.
yeah, but it's not, you're not going to think rationally, and that's when you can get manipulated and
Well, you can't because physiologically, all of your energy is going from the front of the head, which is the frontal cortex. That's where we think rationally and think things through. It downloads, it just goes back to the reptilian brain at the back there, and it just gets ready for a fight or run or something.
Sure. Yep. That's exactly what's happening. So you have to reverse that. You have to become self-aware that you're going into fear and literally decide not to.
That's a
And
great,
then,
that's another great tool for everybody. Absolutely.
yeah, and then see what happens when you do it.
So tell me, what are you creating? What is this world going to look like? What's the plan?
Well, it'll look like the way the world is designed, which is abundant. We're told something else. And so our main job, or you know, we have other things we're doing as well, but the main job is to balance the wealth, the so-called money. Money didn't come with Earth. It wasn't created on the ninth day and God said it was good.
Money was
Money
made
was
up.
introduced.
Was made up.
Yeah, absolutely. It was introduced here. I don't know that we can jump to no money, but we can transition. So we're here to take the wealth from the current psychopaths and give it back to the people.
Okay. And
And
then what is
that's.
our life going to look like? Because I found when I was talking to people, they knew they wanted some land. And they wanted to be able to produce some food, but they couldn't think past that. So you're saying that wealth, there's certainly options of working towards getting the wealth returned.
Yes.
So people are going to live how? They'll have that land, they'll have that wealth, they'll be able
Yeah,
to.
we'll have free energy. All of the patents and things that people have invented that have been suppressed because of the money situation, all those can come out. We can clean up the oceans. We can clean up everything. We can, grow food for people in where they're starving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because there will be an abundance. We won't be just getting by. Oh, I made my rent. No, there'll be abundance. You'll be able to give.
And I think that's the biggest mental shift for people more than anything else, because in my own experience, I found that when I would ask people to dream, they were too scared to, or they'd forgotten how to. So even just
Wow.
dreaming of how comfortable and easy life could be would terrify some people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the situation we're in, and it's got to change, and
Does.
got to change on a lot of levels. But getting the money is really the control mechanism that they have here,
It
because we
is.
all believe in it, and they have control over it. They have all of it, most of it, 95% of it. And they're the ones that are pretty much decide how much we're gonna get, and they keep us, just barely getting by for most of us. And it
Correct.
keeps you in that state of lack, fear, abundant, fear of not making my rent or not going to be able to eat. How am I going to do this and how am I going to do that? And
And
that's again.
that's a downward spiral, isn't it? It just, yeah, and it's very, very difficult to break free of. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
So that's why people can't dream like that. They're so programmed by the current situation. They can't see that it's going to that it can change or that it will change. And but it can and it will. And
Absolutely. And that's the next thing that I want to just talk about is people need to educate themselves. And that's part of what you're doing with Empower Movement is giving them a platform and an opportunity to do just that, aren't you?
yeah, and they can learn commerce. They learn Bible, like Bible principles, from a different perspective than is normally taught in the churches. And we're going to be working on the abundance thing because none of us really know. Well, I shouldn't say none of us, but very few of us know how to be, how to live abundantly because we've never
Yeah,
had that.
it's
And
foreign.
yeah. So we have to kind of work with, everybody where they're at. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just, we have to have a full paradigm shift in how we think and how we understand ourselves and how we understand society and, different way of governing and all kinds of things because this system is out of control.
It is, but I also think that it's imploding. I think that when we got a virus worldwide, it was actually we got a virus on all of the corporate systems and things out there. I think they've been imploding for some time. So I just encourage people to follow people like you and start working on themselves and start taking control of their own lives and their thinking and their future. What's your website? Where can they go, Cal?
Empowermovement.org. So it's inpowermovement.org.
Yes, in. So IN for Nelly, inpowermovement.org. Cal, it has been a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for being so real and for being very frank about some really sensitive parts of your life. But I think for everybody, it's important to maybe hear some of those pieces so they know that if they're going through hell and they're going through trouble at the moment, that there is something better along the way. We encourage them and inspire them, and you have today. You have. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Helen. We were supposed to, get together when I was over there, down under, but well, we finally got to have
Yes,
this conversation, so
we did, and let's get it out there to everybody. So thank you so
thank you.
Welcome to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor. Get ready to be inspired. Stories have power and conversations spark change. So let's create a new world and get started right now.